Well, hey, church, good morning. My name is Mike, and if you don't know me, I'm the lead pastor here. It's so good to be with you today. I've got a question for you as I get started today. Can you think of a time in your life when you were looking for direction? Not so much a singular decision, I guess it could have been, but more about knowing how to respond after you've lost your way. Or maybe you made a series of bad decisions, one after another. Let me give you a couple of examples. Example number one, you graduated from college, and when you came in as a freshman, you didn't have a lot of money, all the money that you needed to pay for college, and so someone recommended, hey, take out a loan. So what you did is you took out one loan after another loan after another loan, and now you have a degree and debt up to your eyeballs. You're financially stuck. And even if you land a job right away, you're going to be paying off debt for years and years to come. And so you may feel weary, dejected, lost. May have this sense of, where do I go from here? You need direction. Example number two, you're a dad and you got angry. Your son just didn't do what you asked him. And after you asked for like the 17th time, you blew up. You couldn't handle it anymore. Your son goes to school, says something about what happened to a friend, a teacher overheard, and the teacher calls CPS. Now you've got somebody on your doorstep with asking all sorts of questions. In the moment, all you can think of are the consequences. And so you're no longer frustrated with the fact that you got angry. Instead, you're wondering, what's going to happen next? Am I going to go to jail? You feel like all of a sudden you've been cast down, like an army surrounding you, and there's no way out. Where do you go from there? You need direction. Now, I realize that it's different for everyone, but in one way or another, we all face extremely difficult situations in our lives. And when they happen, sometimes we wonder, how did I get here? We can't believe it. We're overwhelmed. We're weary. We're dejected. We're lost. We're people who are looking for direction. We're looking for someone to lead us. Here's the truth, though. You don't just generally end up in a really bad situation. Most of the time, there's a series of things that have happened, or you make one bad decision, which leads to another, which leads to another. And the other contributing factor is, well, when things feel like they're going well in life, let's just be honest, most of us don't feel like we want someone to lead us. We don't want other people telling us what to do. If we're honest about it, we have too much pride in ourselves. We don't want to need others. We don't want to feel dependent upon someone else. And not only that, we continually to return to our own same bad decisions time and time again. We make the same mistakes. Like a dog returns to its vomit, we return to our foolishness and sinful ways. But when things take a turn for the worse, when life isn't going all that well, all of a sudden, we want help. We want rest in our weariness. We want to be restored after being rejected. We want to find the right path when we've lost our way. It's only natural, right? Well, here's the good news. The good news is, whether you're going through a tough season in your life or life seems to be going smooth in your life right now, there's someone who desires to lead you. Every single day of your life, from now, this very moment, through all of eternity. And Psalm 23 actually tells us that there's a shepherd who will lead you if you'll let him. His name is Jesus. I want to show you today in Psalm 23. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open up. I will have the words on the screen as well. We'll look at the first three verses. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David was the author of this psalm. He was a shepherd himself who wrote this psalm hundreds of years ago. He faced and endured many significant hardships in his life. He was weary, he was dejected, he was lost on multiple occasions. He knew that the only solution was actually to find a sufficient shepherd. And he knew without a doubt that the sufficient shepherd that he needed was Jesus. And so he declares it here in Psalm 23. He starts off that way, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's declaring Jesus as his shepherd. And so because Christ is his shepherd, he's preaching to himself that he won't lack in anything that he needs. Because we forget, right? We need to preach that truth to ourselves, and that's exactly what David is doing. David makes several statements about Christ's divine authority and provision in his life. He says, "Jesus makes me lie down in green pastures. The Lord, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." It's very clear that David, he knew his shepherd, Jesus. David was confident in his union that he had with Jesus Christ. He trusted in who Jesus, his great shepherd, was, and in who his shepherd, what his shepherd would do in his life. And so here's the question I need to ask you guys today. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? And don't lean on the answer you grew up hearing as a kid. And don't just lean on, "Hey, this is what the Bible says, so of course the Lord is my shepherd." No, I'm talking about, look at your life. Is the Lord shepherding you? Are you letting the Lord shepherd you in your life? Or are you trying to wander through your life on your own, doing it your own way in your own desires and times? The Bible says in the gospel according to John, the sheep hear his voice. And he, Jesus, calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's why they follow him. Do you hear his voice? Do you hear the voice of the Lord? Because Jesus loves you and he wants to shepherd your soul. Jesus loves you so much that he came to this world and he said in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He loves you. Is the Lord your shepherd? And if he is, follow him. If the Lord is your shepherd, follow Christ. Follow him. Give up your life to him. He's the Lord. What does it mean that the Lord shepherds us, that we follow Christ? Well, Jesus actually has something to say about this in Luke chapter 14. We see, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And so, therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." There you have it. In very simple terms, this means follow Jesus. Guys, that means every single aspect of your life must be surrendered to Jesus, must be submitted to Jesus. We don't like to give up the things that we like to hold on to in our lives. The comforts, the wants, the desires, whatever it would be. And we surely don't like to submit to someone else and say, "Hey, you tell me what to do." But that's what he's asking for. Surrender. Submit. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And so the thing that's bouncing around in your mind right now, Yeah, I'm not going to give that up. That's what he's asking for. That you would surrender and submit all of you. Your time, your job, your family, your money, your stuff, your relationships, all of you, every single aspect of your life. That you'd say, I want this in line with my Lord Jesus Christ. To surrender and submit to Jesus. But what about the bad decisions? What about my sin? What about my mistakes? Well, if you've decided that to spend yourself into debt, today, right now, surrender and submit to Jesus. If you've decided to have sexual relations outside of marriage, today, right now, surrender and submit to Jesus. If you let your anger and guilt control you, surrender and submit to Jesus. If you have a habit of criticizing other people or talking about them when they're not in the room, surrender and submit to Jesus. If you want to live your life your own way and you're under this delusion that your life is going pretty well because of your efforts alone, surrender and submit to Jesus. Guys, this requires that we receive the gospel welcome, the gospel invitation of grace. Turning away from your sin and foolishness, putting all of your confidence in Christ, even when you don't see that it's going to work out, even when you don't see the light through the tunnel, you submit, you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of your soul. There is cost in following Jesus. But he promises to be with you and shepherd you. If the Lord is your shepherd, follow Christ. If you haven't already opened up to Psalm 23, I encourage you to do so because I want to show you three ways that Jesus leads us as our shepherd. And the first one is rest. We talked about this last Sunday, but it's worthy of review. We should probably actually talk about it every week. We need it. Verses 1 and 2, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Did you hear what it says? Our shepherd Jesus, he makes us lie down in green pastures. Jesus, he leads us beside still waters. When you surrender and submit to Christ, he controls your life. And he does it for your good and for his glory. And our shepherd is the one who brings us rest. I don't know your life circumstances right now and how you walked in here today, but I wonder if some of you are weary. I wonder if you're a tired parent. I wonder if you've got just so much going on in your life that you're just tired. Sleep doesn't fix it. A vacation doesn't fix it. Are you weary? How's your marriage going? How are your other relationships going in your life? Are they vibrant and life-giving, or are they strained? Do you constantly feel like you're behind in your life, striving to catch up to the speed of life, but it just doesn't happen? Guys, the good news for you today is Jesus is your shepherd, and Jesus, your shepherd, provides rest for your soul. And I know we discussed this idea of rest last week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I've got to point you back to how Jesus tells us to pray for rest. He says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do you realize why Jesus asks us to pray this way? It's because that's what he does for us as our shepherd. We may not get everything we want when we want it, the way we want it, but he provides our daily bread and he provides all that we need. Jesus provides so much more than we could dream of on our own. He forgives us. He absorbs the cost and penalty of our sin for us. And we're united to Christ. And as we are, he protects us from falling into temptation, from sin. Here's the good news. Death no longer has a hold of those who are in Christ. We're free from the power of sin in our lives. If you're united to Christ, we're no longer slaves to sin. Sin doesn't get to tell us what to do anymore. We can say no in the Spirit. We can say, I'm not going to go that path. I'm going to follow my Lord. We can choose life. And so, friends, when you find yourself stuck, cry out to your shepherd. He will help you. He'll rescue your weary heart. He'll make you lie down in the green pastures of his presence. He'll lead you beside the still waters of his grace. Jesus is your rest so that you can follow him. He's your rest. Another way that Jesus shepherds us is this idea of restore. Look at verse 3. He restores my soul. You and I need to know that we can be restored. We need to be restored because we're sinners. We get ourselves into trouble. That's why we need restoration. We make mistakes. We make bad decisions. We have a tendency to keep following the old self before Christ, putting ourselves on the throne of our lives instead of God. Very simply, each and every one of us every day rebel against a holy God, the God who made us, the God who loves us. We rebel against him, and we need to be shepherded. We need to be led. We need to be restored. Now, to be restored means that we turn back or we're brought back. He carries us back. And it starts with confession. It requires repentance. It happens by grace. There's an old English term for a sheep that's turned over on its back and it can't get up. It's called a cast sheep. As you see in the photo behind me there, the sheep has its feet up in the air. You'd think it could just simply roll over and get up, but it can't. It's stuck. The sheep can't be restored to its feet without the help of a shepherd. And so without the shepherd's help, the sheep may lay there until its death. I mean, it could starve to death or there'd be a predator who'd come and eat it. The sheep is cast down and dejected. In some ways, there's no hope. It's actually a very pathetic sight. The sheep's frantically struggling to stand up without success. It's distressed in the soul and needing restoration. A cast sheep. Are you cast down? Do you feel stuck? No way out? Maybe you've made a bad decision and it led to another and led to another and another. I love Psalm 42 giving us this picture, preaching to ourselves, Psalm 42:11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Preach it to yourself. Preach the truth to yourself. See, if you're cast down or you're dejected, you need someone to lead you. You need a shepherd. And so, church, look to Christ. Follow Christ. There's another scripture that I want you to see. The shepherd David wrote Psalm 51 after his sin with Bathsheba. And in this psalm, he writes these beautiful words of restoration. Let me read these to you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. David wrote that. David wrote Psalm 23. David was a shepherd. David rescued cast sheep. And David also knew that he was a cast sheep himself. He was a cast sheep. And what did David do? David went and he looked to Jesus, the Lord, as a sufficient shepherd. The only one who would bring back his soul to restore him. Guys, that's true for you too. Jesus is the only one who can restore you. You sin, you make bad decisions, you find yourself hopeless in life. Even when you feel like life is going well, Jesus is the only one who can restore you. Because without him, we're like a cast sheep. And so today, if you've come in here and you are cast down, pray this prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. You see, church, Jesus, your shepherd, he comes gently, quietly, reassuringly to you. No matter when, where, or how you were cast down, Jesus restores you. He restores you so that you can follow him. Another way that Jesus leads as our shepherd, the last way we'll look at this morning, are right paths. Are you lost? Are you spiritually lost? Are you emotionally a wreck, being tossed to and fro by the circumstances of your life? The prophet Isaiah, he tells us in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You know, there's something almost terrifying about the destructive self-determination of a human being. It's interlocked with personal pride and self-assertion. We insist that we know what's best, even though we keep encountering disastrous results. And what do? We cling to the same habits that we have seen ruin our lives time and time again. Very simply, you and I, we've turned to our own way. We've tried to be our own gods. Proverbs 14:12 tells us, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. You know, it may have seemed right when you decided to let your kids play sports instead of coming to worship each Sunday. But what you didn't realize at the time was that you were actually training them what to value more. It may have seemed right when you decided to move in together before you were married because you were in love. It felt right. But what you didn't realize at the time is you were actually choosing to take yourself and put yourself back on the throne of your life, do it your way, instead of displaying the gospel in a God-glorifying marriage. It may have seemed right to respond with really cutting words and snap back at your spouse who criticized you for your driving again. But what you didn't realize at the time is that you were contributing to an unhealthy, unhelpful cycle of bad communication. And now you both get really defensive every time the other person brings anything up. You can't even talk together anymore. You think about the example in your own life. It seems right in the moment, but it leads to death. Church, trust the shepherd's voice. Your shepherd Jesus can be heard as you read his word, the Bible. And Jesus tells us in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Friends, Jesus is literally the way. He's your shepherd. He will lead you. I want you to see this as Christ instructs us in John chapter 10. We'll have this on the screen. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. That's not a good shepherd, is it? Verse 13, he flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And for this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus will lead you in paths of righteousness. Jesus knows what's best. He ordains what's best. His path is the way to follow. And so, friends, when you don't know where to turn and you feel lost, another psalm you could pray is Psalm 143, verse 10. It says, teach me to do your will. For you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Psalm 43:10. Guys, Christ will make your paths straight. He doesn't promise to make them easy. He doesn't promise to take away the pain or the suffering in this life. But he promises to make your paths straight as he leads you. Because he's holding your hand. He's shepherding your soul. He's making you lie down in the green pastures. God's word is the source of righteous paths in your life. Let his word light your steps. As Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful. Do you hear that? It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So go get in the word. It's not like a magic pill. The word doesn't magically transform us by hearing one sermon and like, okay, now I'm good for life. Or opening your Bible occasionally or just having a memory verse that you always go back to. Like, I can be stronger in Christ who strengthens me. But it's getting into the word, letting the word transform you as you faithfully read it, you study it, you meditate upon it, you gain understanding of who the shepherd is. This is why it's so important that you get plugged into a life group, you get plugged into a Bible study, some sort of community where you can open the word together and you can be transformed as you dialogue about that and pray for one another and talk about how the word intersects with your daily life. It's about obeying God's commands and trusting his promises. It's that simple. Even though that's not simple. Obeying God's commands is about following the voice of Christ. Listen, when we follow his voice, we're led to where he is. And where he is, we'll be safe. We must also trust his promises, though. See, trust and obedience actually go together. Maybe as a kid you remember that song, Trust and Obey. They go together. Trust is believing. It's the confidence that we have in what the Lord tells us, what his word says. And so often when we trust, we may not see the evidence beyond what God has said in his word. We may not see it happening. We may think, well, that sounds crazy in my situation. I'm not sure God understands. Well, he's asking you to trust. But listen, obedience is the action that flows out of our trust in God. And so if we don't obey, it's likely that we're not actually trusting the words that God has given us. Listen, this is important. We don't trust Christ because he helps us understand everything. We trust him because, get this, he understands everything. You see, the reason the Lord gives us all the wonderful truth that he does in his word is not because you and I are going to understand all of it. It's because God wants us to have confidence in our shepherd. It's because he wants us to open the word and see the shepherd. He wants us to trust him. It's not that we wouldn't look to our shepherd that we don't look to our shepherd to give us the answers to all our questions. He wants us to trust the shepherd, to know the answers to all our questions. That if we follow him, he'll direct us to the paths of righteousness. And look back at Psalm 23. All of this is for his name's sake. We spent the very first week looking at the first two words, the Lord. In verse 1, those might be the most foundational words to the passage, but these four words for his name's sake are a clear second, because these four words actually carve out the purpose behind everything that's written in Psalm 23, for his name's sake. It's about God's glory. It's about his fame to be seen by others. It's about his reputation in the eyes of all creation. And so when you think about the Bible, and you think about your life, our lives, and you think about everything that's created in this world, we need to know this truth. It's really not about us. It's not. It's actually about God. And so therefore, everything that God made in all of creation is for his name's sake. Everything that God wrote in his word and expresses to us is for his name's sake. Everything the Lord does to care for us so good and graciously and mercifully is for his name's sake. Whether God allows pain in your life or comfort in your life, it's for his name's sake. Listen, the family that you have, everything that's included with that, the job that you work, the money that you make, listen, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's for his name's sake. The number of years that God gives you to live in this world is for his name's sake. I think we would be so much wiser in the daily decisions we make, and we'd have so much more peace in our lives if we just understood this foundational truth, that the Christian life, the foundation of the Christian life, is to realize that our lives are not actually about us. It's actually about the fame and glory of God, that all of creation would see him and know him. And so if you're here today and you believe in Jesus and you're united in fellowship with Christ, that union with Christ, it's for his name's sake. And if you can hear me speak today and you can hear my voice and you haven't yet surrendered and submitted your life and your sin to Jesus, I plead with you today. Do it for his name's sake. That is your purpose in life. Jesus desires, he so desperately desires, he so lovingly and graciously desires to shepherd your soul. He wants to lead you for his name's sake. Will you follow him? Let's pray together. Father God, you have seen us, and you've seen our problem with sin. You've looked at us, and you've seen our need. And so you so graciously and mercifully sent us a shepherd to lead us by grace, in grace, and to grace. God, you know we've rebelled against you. Each and every one of us rebel against you every day. We confess that to you. We think about those things in our minds even right now, the ways that we've rebelled. God, even though we've rebelled against you, you shepherd us. You shepherd us to rest, to restoration, and to right paths. Jesus, would you make us lie down in green pastures? Jesus, would you lead us beside the still waters of your grace? Jesus, we ask this morning that you restore our souls, that you would lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Our gracious shepherd, Jesus, we thank you. And it's in your most wonderful, marvelous name we pray. Amen.
Well, we invite you to stand with us if you're able and worship, respond in worship to this God who's come near to us, who is holy, and his name is to be praised.